Well, hey, friend, in this episode, we're going to see the King James Version of the Bible is a good translation, but it is not the only translation. Well, hey, friend, welcome back to the Love Your Bible podcast. Hey, we've been in a little series called Is the Bible Actually True? So if you're brand new, if somebody shared this episode and you want to go back a few episodes, we deal with Bible translations, how did God write the Bible, the original manuscripts, textual criticism, all those really fun, nerdy things that I tend to love about the Bible. But if you want to go back and look at some of those, but we dealt last week with what's the best Bible translation. And what we saw is actually there's a lot of good translations. But one of the things we say for a whole episode was the translation of the King James Version of the Bible. Because you might have ran into somebody, you might be this type of person, but there are people who would believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the only version of the Bible, that it is the authoritative, inspired, inerrant Word of God, meaning the English translation of the King James Version of the Bible. So all other translations like NIV, ESV, you name it, they're all bogus. They're all not real. They are perversions of the real Bible, which is the King James Version of the Bible. So we're going to talk about that controversy, the King James only controversy. And I want to start by just mentioning that I've run into a lot of people who would have this view. Students, when I used to do youth ministry, because they would grow up in a certain school, that would say, hey, King James Version is the only version of the Bible. So I'd have to kind of walk through, well, where do they get that? What does that mean exactly? And I run into people that, hey, they really believe that the KJV is the only Bible. Now, I want to be on record to say I love the KJV. I have nothing against the King James Version of the Bible. If that's the one you love to read, great. But I do have a problem if you believe the King James Version is the only version of the Bible, because, well, I just don't think that matches history and reality. And we're going to talk about that. So I'll just bring up driving to my in-laws' house in Marion, Kentucky. We're about to get to their house and there's a brand new sign put up. It's a giant sign, I'm assuming from a church, and it just says truth question mark. And then under it, it says King James Version. And then in really small writing, underneath giant King James Version, it says Bible. And it's just that sort of like puts the argument just right in front of us. Obviously, this sign is trying to communicate, if you want to know the truth, then you need to read the King James Version of the Bible. Not just the Bible. The Bible is not truth. No, the King James Version of the Bible is truth. It was very well communicated by that sign, but you have probably ran into people who would believe this. Maybe you believe this. And so what we're going to do is ask the question, is the King James Version of the Bible the only Bible? Are all the others false? And I'm going to argue no, that it's not the only version. It's a good version, but it's not the only version. So I'll first start out with Dr. Vickers. He is a New Testament professor at Southern Seminary. He's a Greek scholar. He teaches Greek. And he would say this about the King James Version of the Bible. He says it's the most important work in English ever produced. So that is like high compliments to the King James Version of the Bible. He says it's a remarkable translation, though he brings up the reality that it was very heavily criticized when it came out. Like all of the fundamental people, when the King James Version came out, were very against it. Why? Because it's the common language. So the conservatives would have been against it. The liberals would have been for it because it's in the common language. It's not in Latin. It's in English. But after the criticized, then it became this the standard Bible. And for centuries, it was the Bible. That's why we have so many still today that hold that it is the only Bible, because for so long, it was the standard. Now, again, I'm not against the King James Version of the Bible. If you want to read it because you love it, that's great. I think it's a good translation, but I also would say I don't think it's the best translation. And the problem that we're going to talk about today is not the King James Version of the Bible. Okay, there's no problem with that. It's a great translation. We're going to talk about the problem of KJV-onlyism, meaning it's the only Bible. And this is the belief that the King James Version is the inspired English translation and all others are perversions. So we're going to look at five different categories of people who read the KJV. And we're going to see a couple of these are really great and a couple of these are not so great. So we're going to just walk through this. Now, I get these from James White's book, The King James Only Controversy, subtitle, Can You Trust Modern Translations? Now, after this episode, if you're fascinated by this, you're not convinced by this, you're angry after this, I suggest you read James White's book, The King James Only Controversy. Now, it's about 400 pages, but I'll give you the Google Scholar version of it, and you can just read like the first 40 pages, and you can decide if you want to buy the whole Bible or not. But he lays out some really good points. And he has really, there's five categories of people who read the King James Version of the Bible. So the first category of people, it's this: I like the KJV best. Okay. Now, this would be a great category of people who read the King James Version. Okay. You're saying, you know, when it comes to the NIV, the ESV, I just like the way the King James puts it. I've memorized verses when I was a little kid. They're all KJV, and I just like the poetry of it. I like the Old English. I just really enjoy the language of the King James Version of the Bible. That's why I read it. That's why I study with it. That's why I preach from it. Hey, if that's you, I applaud you. That's an amazing thing to do. Keep reading it. Keep loving your KJV Bible because it is a good translation of the Bible. So no problems. Okay. The second one would be the textual argument about the Textus Receptus. Now, what exactly is the Textus Receptus? Well, we have, that is the belief, okay, so these people believe that the King James Version of the Bible, it was translated from better manuscripts than the modern translations are translated from. Now, if you're thinking, what about manuscripts? Go listen to the last episode. We deal with manuscripts. When are there errors in the Bible? Maybe it was two episodes ago. But basically, there was a guy named Erasmus who was a humanist, and he went back to the original language. So he wants to go back to the Greek, and he puts together a Greek New Testament. It's the first critical Greek New Testament, meaning he had multiple manuscripts. He's looking through them to try to figure out what is most likely equal to the original autograph copies that the actual writers wrote. So he actually printed a Greek New Testament, which came 100 years later to be known as the Textus Receptus, which is Latin for the received text, okay? And this kind of became what a lot of people see as, well, this is like the authoritative version of the New Testament. So Rick Melick, who's a distinguished professor at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary in New Testament studies, he says this. He says, it's unclear how many manuscripts Erasmus used in his work, but most originated approximately from the 10th century and later. So this is much later than what we would have in modern manuscripts that are like the, you know, the first, second, third, fourth century, those manuscripts that we have discovered. So these are much later manuscripts, the 10th century that Erasmus is using. I've heard most people think he used about five different manuscripts to kind of put these together to build his Greek New Testament. And then Mellick goes on to say, most scholars now reject the Erasmus text as the best text. He goes on to say, and therefore the translations based on it are also considered less than best. Why is that? Well, because we have our modern Bibles are using a lot more manuscripts than Erasmus had. So the second group would say it's a textual argument. They would say, we believe Erasmus had the best manuscripts. So the textual argument, we believe it's coming from better manuscripts than our modern Bibles are. And if that's you, hey, that's fine. If you think his manuscripts are great, go with him, go with the KJV. That is perfectly fine. I just don't think it matches historical accuracy. So again, I'll use Dr. Plummer. He's a guy from Southern Seminary who teaches Greek, and I'm just going to read his passage in his book, 40 Questions About the King James Version of the Bible. So on page 73, he says this: the best Bible translations are based on the most reliable ancient manuscripts of the Old and New Testament. The King James Version is not highly recommended because it is not based on the best manuscripts and because the 17th 16th century English is hard for most modern people to understand. So just kind of summarizing, hey, the King James Version, it's not highly recommended because it's not based on the best manuscripts and it's really hard to read. So again, these are Greek scholars. I've referenced three of them. They're all saying the same thing. Hey, the KJV, it's a good version of the Bible, like Dr. Vickers, Dr. Plummer. They're not saying it's bad. It's just not the best. Okay. So, but these two groups, group one, you just like KJV better. You just like the way it reads. That's fine. Go read it. The second group, you believe that the Greek manuscripts behind the KJV are the best. Hey, that's fine. We can get along. We're going to disagree, but hey, it's fine. Now, the third, fourth, and fifth group, this is where you get into King James only-ism. Okay, so the third group would be the received text only. Okay, so this group would not just say the received text or Erasmus's text, right, is the best. They would say it's the only. It's the only inerrant Greek manuscripts, and they would even say that the Hebrew manuscript used for the KJV, they're the only real manuscript. So it's the received text only group. And this would lead to all modern translations come off of other manuscripts that are not the received manuscripts. They're not the right ones. So now we're getting into that category of, okay, the KJV is really not just better, it is really the only. Okay, the fourth camp would be the inspired KJV group. Okay, so these people would believe, and this is really in the KJV only. And the third group, maybe they're going to say, hey, NIV, I don't think it's best, but I do think, but this group would be like, no, KJV only. Okay, they would believe that the English translation is inspired and inerrant. The actual English translation, that those translators who translate it, they were doing work under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, and they were inspired and inerrant in everything they did. So it's not that the manuscripts are better that's behind the KJV. It's the KJV in English is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. So these people would believe that the KJV alone equals the Word of God alone. So if you have an NIV, you're not reading the Bible. It's not God's Word because it's only the KJV. It's the English translation of the KJV. Now, they wouldn't dismiss, like, you know, other languages, but as far as the English translation, the KJV, it's the only true Bible. It's the real Bible. Okay, and they'll say others, they change things, they omit things, they delete things. For instance, I'll give you an example of a passage that King James only people will point to say modern translations, they deny the doctrine of the Trinity. For instance, 1 John 5, 7, I'll go ahead and read verse 6, 2, but here's what the ESV says, okay? So this is 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is truth. Now listen to verse 7. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. Now let's read the King James Version of the Bible. Verse 7 says this, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Well, man, that sounds like the Trinity, right? I mean, KJV, that's like Father, Word, Holy Spirit. So Word is Jesus. So that's like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. Like that is a lockstep passage to prove the Trinity from the Word of God. Well, if you go to the ESV, it says there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree. Well, that doesn't say anything about the Trinity. So now we have the ESV is obviously losing the doctrine of the Trinity, and the KJV is proving the doctrine of the Trinity. So, of course, those modern translations, they're just liberal. They're throwing out doctrine. They're throwing out theology. And so people bring up verses like this. So, but if you look at the context, it's pretty clear what happened. It's pretty clear that a copyist, and we talked about on that, is there errors in the Bible? There are variants in the manuscript. There's copyists who are copying the actual letters that John would have wrote. There's copies after copies after copies. And at some point, a copyist clearly inserted the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one because now he's knowing that there's a Trinity. It seems like Trinitarian language. There's three here. So maybe there's a footnote and this got entered into a manuscript. But let's just think about what the ESV says, okay? Now, why does the ESV interpret it that the three that testify are the Spirit, the water, and the blood? Well, because in earlier manuscripts, this is what it says, which would have meant this would have been more likely what John actually wrote. And if you think about the argument, what's John trying to prove? He's proving who Jesus is, right? And how do we know who Jesus is? Well, the Spirit testifies. The Spirit is truth. The Spirit tells us. And there are three testimonies about Jesus. What are the three testimonies? It's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, what's the water and the blood? Well, some people say it's his birth. Some people say it's his baptism. The blood, it's probably the cross. So the idea is that when you come to Jesus, how do we know who Jesus is? Well, the Spirit testifies, but also Jesus' life and death testify, agrees that Jesus really is the Son of God. So this is not disproving the Trinity. The verse is about Jesus being who he said he really was, which is God, and you have the Spirit there. So this is a Trinitarian verse. It's just not as clearly laid out as the KJV would put it, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. But if you think about the way the KJV puts it, it's talking about who Jesus is, and the three witnesses are the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So one of the witnesses about Jesus is Jesus as the Word. So it doesn't even make sense. Like, Jesus can't testify to himself because that's not evidence. No, the point is the Spirit, his life, and his death prove who he is. So you'll find people will say, hey, modern translations take out verses, they change verses. And that's just not true. Modern translations just go back to the original sources. They go back further in history and find manuscripts closer to when John actually wrote. And when there are changes, there's variants, they say, okay, the closer we get to the original, it's more likely that is what was actually written. And the more later you get from the original, it's more likely that a copyist changed or made a mistake. So again, Erasmus had 10th century manuscripts. That's a lot of space and time between when John actually wrote. Now, in modern translations, we have manuscripts way closer. I mean, some like from 50 to 100 years when John and Paul and James actually wrote. Those we can say are going to be a lot more reliable than ones that are 10 centuries past when it was written. So, but if you're reading a modern translation of the Bible, you're going to see that there's verses that get skipped. Like when I preach and I'm sending the tech team my verses, they'll like freak out sometimes. They're like, hey, verse 8 is not in here. It's like, well, yeah, because the King James Version had version 8. But in the original manuscripts, when you go back, it's actually not a verse there. A copyist would have added something to it. And it got put in there. And so, but all of your modern translations, like the NIV, the ESV, any of those translations, they're going to put in footnotes that when a verse is missing or something's happened, they're saying the earliest Greek manuscripts don't contain this verse. So they're telling you through textual criticism, through the body of scholarly work we have now, we found better evidence of what Paul actually wrote. So the fifth group, okay, the fifth group is the most extreme, and they would say the KJV as new revelation. All right, this would be the most extreme group of KJV only. Okay, what this group believes is the Hebrew and the Greek don't even matter. Who cares about the manuscript? They would say God re-inspired the Bible in 1611. So the King James Version is the authoritative version. There's a joke. They'll say, hey, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Speaking of the King James Version of the Bible, which by the way, Paul did not have a King James Version of the Bible. English is not even a language then. But it's just a joke to say, okay, the reality is what they believe is, hey, God re-inspired the Bible in 1611. It doesn't matter what the Greek or Hebrew says. We have the authoritative Bible. Now, what I think happened, this is just my theory, I don't have anything to back this up, but I went to a church and did a revival, and one of the pastors says, you know, I was looking through our bylaws, and it says in our bylaws that we as a congregation believe in the inerrant and infallible 1611 King James Version of the Bible, no matter what Greek and Hebrew manuscripts reveal. And I thought, now, why would you get to that position? Why would you be unwilling to look at Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, which would have been what the original authors wrote in? And then you think about just, you know, 50 or so years ago, we had the uncovering of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And you can imagine there's a lot of panic. Like, what are the Dead Sea Scrolls going to reveal? Are they going to show something that denies the faith? Are they going to reveal that Jesus actually wasn't God, that he was really married, that he had a son, that he didn't really raise from the dead? What if Greek and Hebrew manuscripts disprove what we believe? So out of fear, this is my opinion, okay? Out of fear, I think you had a group of Christians who said, you know what? I don't care what the original sources say. I don't care what the manuscripts say. We are going to go with the King James Version of the Bible in 1611 because we know it and we feel comfortable with it, and we're going to just bury our head and say, we're going to believe this no matter what reality reveals. Now, of course, Dead Sea Scrolls didn't reveal anything crazy. Like, we've just got more evidence that more proved we have really good evidence that the Bibles we hold in our hands are what God actually said. So, but again, this is an extreme position. It's the King James Version is the re-inspired Word of God in 1611. And of course, all other English translations are bogus. They're all perverted. They all leave out verses of the Bible. So again, let's just kind of summarize. Let's bring this together. Again, I am not against the King James Version of the Bible. It's great. If you love reading it, if you want to read the Psalms in King James, if you want to memorize verses, if you want to use this as your study, that is fine. But I would encourage you, maybe if you're going to use it to study, maybe get the New King James Version of the Bible, because it's the same manuscripts they're going off of, but it's a little bit easier to understand. But if you like Old English, hey, great. Stick with it. It's going to be a really good Bible. I want you to love your King James Version of the Bible. If that's a Bible you love, love it, read it, memorize it. You're going to profit from it. God is speaking to you through it. It's a really good translation, but it's not the only, and it's not the best. And hopefully what you've seen today is the different camps that people fall under. Okay, so again, the first one, hey, you just love the King James Version Bible. Great. The second one, you think it's actually has better manuscripts behind it. Hey, that's fine. We can agree to disagree. But the third and the fourth, you're getting in the territory to believe, hey, it's actually the English translation of this Bible. It's inerrant, and it's without error, and it's re-inspired from God, and it is superior to all other translations. That's just not true. I know you might hate me. You might be in the King James only camp and you're like, Corey, I'm going to come through these speakers and I'm going to get you. I get it. That's fine. We can disagree on this point. But again, the King James Version, good version of the Bible, but it's not the only version of the Bible. And it's not the best version of the Bible. So what I would encourage you to do is, if you love the KJV, read it. But also, I would encourage you to read the ESV because I think it's a lot more accurate in what Paul actually wrote and what the writers actually wrote. If you have an NIV or one of those, a modern translation is going to be a little more accurate. And again, I'm not just speaking this. I've given you three Greek scholars who are also agreeing, and also James White, who's a Greek scholar. It's actually four that I quoted. I quoted four Greek scholars on the Love Your Bible podcast. But I do encourage you, if you want to dive further into this, please get James White's book. It's called The King James Only Controversy: Can You Trust Modern Translations? I promise he's going to give you a lot more detail and a lot more history and go into the arguments in a lot more detail. So grab his book. And hey, I hope today, if you are a King James Version reader, I hope you love the King James Version. I hope you continue to love it, because when you love it, you'll love God, serve people, and live a life that matters. But if you're a King James only person, then I pray that you would read James White's book, you would dig into the evidence, and really see if you are historically accurate, because I think it's just not true that the King James Version is the only version of the Bible. It's a good, but it's not the best, and it's definitely not the only. Well, hey, I hope you've enjoyed this little series about, can you really trust your Bible? Because I think you can. Not only can you trust it, but I think you should love it. Because when you love your Bible, you will serve people, you will love God, and you will live a life that matters.